Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Thank you, Duke. That is correct. You are listening to the Chili Dippers. We are coming live from the Siebel at Pelican Waters in sunny Gold Coast. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark.
Sunshine Coast. Sunshine. You still get them mixed up.
I do. Very different.
We're at the Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast next week, but sorry, go on.
Hey, I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. Sitting across from me, as always, is a man who's sporting a rather lush beard, David Cannon-Rolson. How are you going, my friend?
Firstly, very good to be in the same room as you. I prefer to be doing them face to face than over the Tasman Sea and via a telephone. And beat it up and quite successfully too, I would imagine.
You were pretty happy with it early, telling me that you were getting a few extra smiles coming your way.
As I was saying, normally you're sort of walking through a shopping centre and all that, and you catch the eye of a girl, and she sort of does a little vomit in her mouth or that when she sees that it's you looking at her. But I've actually been getting some smiles and some nods and a little bit of a, g'day champ, how you going type sort of look.
I haven't seen too many of them.
The beard's working. Okay, the beard plays.
No, the beard looks good. No, I'm happy with the beard. So, as I said off the top there, we are sitting in Pelican Waters. We've got a little two-day stay and play package down here, which is a nice little part of the world. Middle of winter, 27 degrees, 28 degrees today. That helps. Shorts and T-shirt still.
It's 9 o'clock at night and we're still shorts and T-shirt. Yeah, she's a lot better than New Zealand and Victoria during June, July up here, mate. That's why we come at this time of year. It's perfect, isn't it?
That is exactly right. And, this is our first day. We played golf today at Pelican Waters. I flew up yesterday.
How'd you go coming up?
Well, I had the two flights. I flew out of Albury. Albury to Sydney and then Sydney to Brisbane. So what I did on the flight, I thought I'd do something a little bit different, just thinking of the podcast a bit of time. So I had a window seat, got lucky on the first one. So looking out the window, I tried to count how many golf courses I could see until I landed in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to do the same on the next flight and see how many. So from Albury, as soon as you take off, you see one straight away. Yeah, you see Thaguna. Yep. And I counted 11 golf courses. And you know what the cool thing was? As I was flying in, I didn't realize the coast we played the other day, the coast. It's really close to the airport. We actually done a big turning bank right on top of it, and I could actually see the holes and know it. The first time ever, I'm always in planes looking at the ocean trying to see a whale I've seen a massive whale just off the edge of the coast doing its thing.
That'd be the same one we seen the other day.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, so 11 golf courses. Between Albury and Sydney.
Do you go over Canberra?
Oh, I don't got no idea where we're over.
That's very interesting. Yeah, right. So 11 courses by air, yep.
Yep. And I'll tell you, courses when you're 10,000 feet in the air don't look very good.
Oh, no, you're too
much. No golf course looks good from the air. When you're looking down on aerial shots, they all look very basic and plain. Not much going on.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell the subtle undulations and all that sort of stuff from that far away, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So 11 courses from Albury to Sydney.
Yep, and what about Sydney to Brisbane?
Didn't see a single one. I was too crook and couldn't look out the window.
You get that crook flying?
Yeah, I was hopeless.
Really?
Yeah, the next one was a little bit shaky. No, I didn't look a second out the window.
I'm no good on boats, but cars, airplanes and trains, I'm as good as gold.
Nah, I'm shocking in planes, and I've never ever once spewed in one of those little baggy things.
Yep.
And my streak nearly ended on that flight. And I'm glad because I was thinking, because I want to go to the grave with that streak intact.
Yeah.
And halfway through, I'm thinking, I'm going to need this. And there wasn't one in front of me. And I was thinking, I'm jammed in the bloody, in the window seat.
Oh, well, I've got a few things to add to that. Firstly, I remember when we used to footy trip, when I played footy, say, 18, 19, 20, I was the worst flyer in the world. And no one would sit next to me. I used to get the stabbing pains in the ears to the point where it really felt like I was going to die. And I used to be a really bad flyer, but I'm much better. I haven't spewed in 18 years.
That amazes me.
Since the year 2000, since Rob Panozzo's then girlfriend, Brooke Seymour, stitched me up. She spiked my drinks, basically. She was giving me this much. That'll work on radio. She was giving me way too much vodka and not enough the other stuff. And yeah, and I remember I said, I'm never going to spew again.
Ever been punched in the jejunum?
No, I haven't. But that's a good streak, 18 years, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Nah. And the other thing I was sitting at the airport and I was sitting waiting at the gate like you do, you get there nice and early. They were calling us in. One lady, just before they were calling us in, I heard.
Just before you go. So, was this a dealing with idiots who don't know how to behave at the airport stage?
Well, could be, but I'm not quite there yet.
Because obviously, I was at the airport as well in New Zealand and I fly back. And people just don't know how to behave at airports.
This was appalling. This lady realised she was at the wrong gate, right? When they were calling us which happens.
But she it doesn't. But
she went berserk at her five-year-old. You told me it was gate 7. Little kids going wrong. I thought it was gate 7. She went nuts at her and then had to bop. It's funny. I've never been late for a plane except for once. I was sitting with my business partner, Rob Hancock.
Yeah, go on, you're right.
And we're in the Sydney airport and I'm sitting there and I'm eating a Krispy Kreme donut, right? This bloke comes hauling ass past me, right? And I looked at, and this is a true story. I looked at Rob and I said, how do you ever get in that situation where you're running to the thing? And then I hear over the station, paging passengers Luke Clark and Robert Deng. And all of a sudden, I ran past the dude, running down the hallways.
I was going to ask you the same thing because people obviously, that's why they go insane at you, because they're running late and they're losing their shit and all that sort of stuff. And then I was going to say the same. I was going to ask you, have you ever been late for a flight? And then I thought to myself, I've never been late, but then I realised there's three. I missed two flights, but it wasn't I was late. I actually forgot what day it was. So I missed a flight from Vegas because I lost what day it was, and a flight from Hong Kong just because I got the day completely.
So you didn't miss, you weren't 10 minutes late.
I just got the day wrong completely. So that happened twice. But one time we're in Tasmania and we're coming back and there was three or four of us and we all had different flights. So we didn't want to be left at the airport by ourselves. We stayed together, hang on and all that sort of stuff. Well, the boys dropped me off because I was second last or something. As I walked into the airport, I hear, David Rolston, can you please come? I think I just got the times wrong. And I went from the front door just straight through anything, no security, like didn't stop at security and ran straight out onto the tarmac and onto the plane. But I'm with you, you just shouldn't be late for a plane. It just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, well, I was going to do a top four. While I was there waiting for my bag to me, I wrote a few lists here. I might even call it a top four. We'll call it a segment.
A bottom four. So the worst four things to do at it.
Top four things idiots do at airports.
Yeah. Top
four.
All right, I've got one to add if you haven't got it, but I'm pretty sure you will have it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like,
Hang on. Yeah. So you're just doing top fours now.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
We played the intro music.
Good. All right. So you're doing them. All right. Good.
Okay. So one of them's line up too early to get onto the plane. You don't want to be in a hurry. You got to.
Oh yeah, exactly.
No one's
taking
your seat.
No.
You just sit and you relax. You let everyone get on there, and then you just get on last and go straight there and sit on your
seat.
The
only tiny thing with that is sometimes the overhead baggage gets too full.
Yes, this is
true. But that is probably another top four thing about idiots bringing four bags on the plane instead of the one they're allowed. I hope I haven't stolen.
Yep. One of them's just not being aware of what's your surroundings. Oh. They're walking through the airport, it's busy, and they just stop to send a text message, and you've got to go around them, like just not being aware.
Well, that leads me to a question. Can I ask a question relative to that?
Yes.
Can you disparage a whole race of people without being racist? Can you say something bad about an entire race and not be racist? What if I say it about Australians? What if I said, because I'm Australian, what if I said all Australians are idiots? Am I racist?
No.
Right.
But you're about to be.
Yeah. But as you know, I love the Asian people. Fantastic people.
Yep.
Aren't they?
You're always telling me that, yeah.
Lemon chicken.
Yep. Good.
Massage.
Yep. Good.
They're a fantastic people.
Yep.
They have got that spatial awareness that you're talking about.
No,
they don't have. I don't know if because there's 1.4 billion of them and they bump into each other all the time and they don't care. But they've, as I said, lovely people. Just no spatial awareness. That's one thing they really need to work on.
That is true. I agree with that. Okay.
That wasn't too racist, was it?
No, was okay. Because it was true.
Yeah.
The other one is when you wait at the baggage thing where the bags come out.
Yep, yep.
And everyone wants to line up right there, yes. Right on top in case their bag comes. I want to go,
yep.
Look, they take forever. You can stand back, wait till you see your bag. Because I stand back and wait.
Yeah.
And then I think, there's me bag. I can't get to it.
No, exactly. Because
there's
all,
a row of people like almost linking arms, creating the barricade. Like, they don't want you.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. And the number one.
All right.
The number one thing is when the plane lands.
Oh,
the second it lands, everyone goes click, 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 click. And everyone stands up in the aisles and they're all hunched over because they can't get out. You can't go anywhere or do anything.
Nah.
Just sit in your seat and wait an extra minute and a half.
And so how many people on the plane? 400?
Let's say
200.
Yep.
It's as if 198 of them have never flown before.
Yeah.
Because it's happened every single flight. They've stood up and you can't move.
Yep.
But they still stand up. Why do they do that?
Yep.
It'd be, as you said, fair enough if you'd never flown before and you didn't know. You thought, oh, the plane's land, I could get straight off.
Yep.
But they're not all first-time flyers.
They're not allowed to. They're not allowed to until the plane's off.
It's madness.
The person who's on the aisle, they get out. They get out, right? So they're doing their thing.
Yep.
But then what's even worse than that is the person in the middle stands up, gets on a 45-degree because they can't stand up because of the overheads, and they sit there arched over, waiting just to get out. The
one you missed was when they're going up, you've got 25 kilograms in your bag.
Yes.
And they weigh it. And it weighs 42 kilograms. You know. I've seen a moment.
You can't lift it.
And they got like one lady I reckon had three different types of shampoo in her bag. And like great big liter bottles of it sort of thing. Stuff you just don't know. You're like, they know. You know you can't have so much weight on it. And they take stuff you just don't need.
Honorable mention to people who take their shoes off to go through the little thing, the little security thing when you don't need to.
You don't need to anymore. No. In America you do.
Yeah, not in domestic. In Aubrey, you don't have to do that.
Well, in New Zealand, you go through and they beep and they go, oh, what's going on there? And you just say, steel caps. And they go, oh, yeah, okay. So you could have a bomb in your boot. But you just tell them the security people actually believe you when you tell them stuff in New Zealand. They're that friendly.
All right, so we'll probably jumped ahead.
So what have we got in 20 minutes and not mentioned golf?
We've gone straight to a top four. That's a first. So let's get back to arriving here. So
we drove into Caloundra last night because I picked you up from the airport in Brisbane. We had a pretty slow drive up and we stayed at the very. What, now, I was going to say generously named Ocean View, the optimistically named.
It was aptly named.
Depending on your definition of view.
The name was OVR.
Yeah, OVR, Ocean View Resort.
Yeah.
But I'm questioning, just because you can see the ocean, does that mean you've actually got a view of the ocean?
Yes.
It does. It doesn't. I thought a glimpse and just a little bit of a sighting wasn't quite a view.
Okay, fair enough. All right. I haven't got that. It was okay, though.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Caloundra was nice, but asleep from 5:30
onwards. Yeah, Caloundra was on, what do they call it? It was, looked like it was just...
Martial law.
Yeah, martial law. Nighttime lockdown. Very quiet.
So anyway, we stayed there the night. We needed to find some accommodation. So that done for the night. And then we come down to the lovely Pelican Waters, staying at the Seabull.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Didn't get off to a great start when we went to get into the car space, and underneath car green, you gotta insert your security, insert your credit card style key into the slot, and then the door opens. Now, but these keys have four different options. Like each end, one, two, and then flip the card upside down.
Yeah.
So they got four options. You got it on the fifth try.
I was waving it next to the device didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Was the one that got me. I thought it might have been some sort of scanning wave type thing. But no, we got in.
Yeah, we did. We got in. Then look, we got a nice room.
Beautiful room.
Unlucky that we don't get a view of the golf course from the room. That's one of the few.
Well, let's get on to first impressions.
Yes.
Can't see. We always talk about you drive into the golf course and you can see 20 holes because you can see 8 or 10 of the holes. You know, you can see the views, or whatever. You can't see a hole from anywhere.
And first, you got to get through a maze to get here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Literally every street looks the same. Yep,
they all look the same. That was really weird. I expected to be able to see holes here and there and views and whatever. But you couldn't actually see any holes from the clubhouse or the hotel. It was quite weird, wasn't it?
Yeah. But once you got inside, once you found the joint, got it. Nice club rooms, good pro shop.
Really good pro shop, yeah.
Strange from there, though, had a really nice outdoor area with the bar and all that, but you still couldn't see the golf course. You could see the driving range.
And the practice green.
Nice putting green with practice a little bit of a dip really cool. Into some water. It looked really cool.
Yep.
A lot faster than the actual course. Yeah, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it cost me a few shots early, the pace of the green, early for the first 15 or 16 holes. Yeah, I couldn't get the pace at all.
And I went for a bit of a warm-up jog.
Oh, yeah. We're on a deal where you get part of the hotel gives you a free round of golf, but you need the voucher. And Luke forgot the voucher, so he had to come back to the hotel.
Was next door to where the course was. So that wasn't so bad. They set us off. The guy in the pro shop was really nice. I liked
good
it.
We always like to
rank those guys. They normally are pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes a young fella can be a bit arrogant and goose-like, but he wasn't. He was a ripper today.
He was really good. Sent us off the 10th today, which was a bit different. Normally we
don't like that so much, too.
Especially when it's a new course. I don't care if I'm playing at home. That doesn't bother me. But we like to see like the opening hole to see what it is and off the 10th.
Well, it keeps it simple. I like things in order.
Yeah.
And playing one is in order before 10.
Yeah. And look, great course, but one of the few things, it was somehow, we don't know if it hasn't rained, when the last time it rained. Like I said, it was 28 degrees, overcast, blue skies, overcast, blue skies all day. Yeah, pretty nice. Beautiful. Really nice for the middle of winter. But wet as a shower. Like the underfoot was unbelievably wet all day.
As if it had rained solidly for a week.
Yeah.
If it had been non-stop, good, solid rain for at least a week. I was stunned at how wet it was. Yeah. And it's a top 20 course. Is it 21 or something it's ranked?
That's a good question.
So it's ranked 21. And you can see that without a problem. But the water, I reckon it's probably affected it 10 or 20%. It's made it a 9 out of 10 course, a 7 out of 10 course.
Yeah, that's it. We're in 21, you're right. And that's the thing. Like, for a start, we couldn't take the carts on the fairways, which really sort of wrecked the experience a little bit, because rather than going down the middle of the fairway and appreciating
you
the
don't
hole,
get the views.
We're going down the side path, and there's potholes everywhere, full of water, so half the time I had to concentrate looking down there, so we're not...
And also, a lot of the time, the path was tree-lined to both sides,
that's
so
exactly
you actually
right.
couldn't even see... Like, if the paths were open, you'd still get a great view, but even the paths were a bit isolated, so you couldn't really get a great view of the course. Don't get me wrong, plenty of beautiful houses around the course that were fantastic, and of course, there was a lot of the time looking from the green, you'd look back down the fairway, and you think, gee, that's fantastic, but you think, oh, how come I didn't see that coming up though? You know, you only saw it once from the green back. You should have been able to see it all day coming up the fairway all day, because we hit them up the middle all day.
Yeah, we actually played pretty well. And look, nothing, it probably cost us a few
shots. I was joking more than
you. It cost us a few shots, because a lot of times you'd hit to the right-hand side of the fairway, you have to park the cart like 80 metres away.
Yep.
You take a couple of clubs, you didn't have the right one, so you'd go, oh, this will do sort of thing, because you couldn't be bothered walking
all
the way back.
If I wasn't one of the great cheats of golf, it would have cost me a heap. I just said... That made me have the wrong club. I'm not counting that. I wouldn't have hit it there with the right club.
And you still had a 1 of 98
It still had way too many. But yeah, that did. I actually, on one, I took a 5 and a 6 iron over and needed a wedge.
Yeah.
All that.
That did happen a couple of times.
And because it was in the one stage where we actually had 4 behind us and 4 in front of us, so you couldn't walk 50 metres back to the cart and back and all that. So yeah, and that did cost us some
And
shots.
The other thing with the bunkers, 50% of the bunkers were full with water. And
at
no
least.
GUI, just, or if they weren't full of water, they were just slush and mud that you almost could not...
Or clay-like.
Yeah. There was probably 10 bunkers that I've seen that were actually nice sand, which made it tough. But look,
Tidy up the. Let's just finish on the negative there. You're right.
Yeah.
For a really good course, somehow we must have not seen all the rain they've had or something. But even though the paths, if it was dry, would have been pothole full anyway as well.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And yeah, it was just. Because a lot of people have told us how good this course was, and we had
and it's ranked 21, it's nearly in the top 20.
Yeah, and it is, and you could tell it was magnificent.
Yeah,
but somehow
we just didn't get it on the right day.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was course management though. They could have done a fair bit to make it better today.
And looking at that, it is middle of winter as well, and we're sort of picking nits here. Like back home, probably was too windy and rainy to even play golf. Yeah. So we still had a ball and still love the course. We're not.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it was still some of the holes were great. Like the 10 start was great. A lot of water down a lot of edges. And I said, a lot of fantastic houses around the course, which looks really cool. The greens were in really good nick.
That absolutely
yeah,
were,
the greens, yeah, the greens were in good nick.
And we said out there that it was not what I was expecting. It was more tree-y than
I
thought.
It was a lot more forest-like. Yeah. I thought it'd be the open resort style
me too.
Sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely,
but it was,
did.
A lot of the holes were really isolated because of the heavy tree line both sides. What are the 2 or 3 holes that stood out for you?
I reckon, I was going to say the 17th, but we played the back 9. I reckon the 8th would be the par 5 8th. We didn't play it overly well.
I reckon the front 9 was way better.
Yes.
Yeah, the front 9 was way better. Because 1 was magnificent.
The opening hole was great.
Remember, we were playing 1 as 11, Or 10, yeah, 10, sorry. And we said, geez, we should have started on this. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And it kept going like that too. And I agree, that long par 5 was the 7th or 8th, was it? 8th.
Yes.
Eight. Yeah, that was a magnificent. From the green looking back with the water down the one end, magnificent. Yeah. So, yeah, if it was dry, it really...
Yeah, we would have been on the fairway driving down and getting appreciated.
And we would have been saying it could be a top 20 course easy, top 10. Yeah.
So, like I said, we started the back, which is your second shot. Because you asked for a warm-up hit.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't played for ages.
I haven't played since we were in Barwon Heads whatever months ago. So I haven't had a hit in New Zealand at all.
So you just said, look, even if I smash it down the middle, fair enough, I'm still playing it again. Yep. I said, yep.
I just wanted to hit one ball.
So you hit it pretty good. You hit them both semi down the middle.
Yeah.
Yep. So I've drove the cart over the left-hand side and you've gone, I'll just hit this one back to you. Skin it. I had to move the cart forward.
I hit it clean as a whistle. That's a little tracer bullet right at you.
I had to accelerate and then went shoot past my ass and into the bushes.
And we lost it. That was gone.
We lost a ball on the third. We've done signature holes. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I noticed you're taking a few notes today during the round.
Yes.
Which you don't normally do.
Yes.
I think I'm going to come off better off when you don't take notes than you do.
So I'll read out some of them. Yeah. So the first one was you taking 5 goes to get a card into the thing that had four possible combinations. The second one was I'll just hit this ball to you.
All right.
Now, on the 17th, which was our 8th, you went to chip a ball onto the green.
So, chipping it, 10 metres?
Yeah, 10 metres on it. You're probably 5 metres off the green, 10 metres to the pin. Yeah. I'm not sure if you had a stroke on the way down. Tell us what happened there.
I've gone to do it. I've had a few practice little swings. I went to have my real swing. And when at the top of me backswing, something caught my eye, so I stopped and turned around, right? So that's put me off. I don't know if a bird flew past or a shadow got me or whatever. So then I've gone again, and then I've just stood over and I thought, gee, that's just a little 10-metre chip. This couldn't be more simple. And I hit the ground a foot and a half behind the ball, and then the club bounced over the ball, and I just stood up to you and said, missed it.
Just winning it.
Oh, gee, I missed it by a long on the. I understand if you're on the tee and the way I swing on the tee, I should have 2 or 3 areas around, shouldn't I? I get both feet off the ground. I'm looking up in the sky. I ended up turning the wrong way. But a wedge like that, so the simplest, easiest movement, all, and I missed it by a mile.
Did you miss it by a long way? Didn't think it'd be possible.
And then what? The next hole
was literally the next hole, which was the 18th or the 9th. Anyway. Yeah. You were about 2 feet off the and you dumped the chip a meter forward. Then you went to play it and tell us what happened there. You had to do a practice swing.
Oh, then I hit it. I'm missing it when I'm having real swings, and I hit it during my practice swing.
And then looks at me and he goes, that was a genuine practice swing.
And I hit it. But then I duffed it another foot in front of myself again too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a full mental breakdown with that club during that shot.
Yeah.
Because I played the same shot with an 8-iron.
Yep.
Beautiful. But that 50, I am dead set throwing that club away. Like it is, and it's not the club's folded, but it's mine. I just can't, it mentally just ruins me. So I can't play that club. And that was a big miss.
It was. So look, we'll start wrapping up the course review part. Look, like I said, it was a really, I'm not sure 21's quite it. I'd like to play it in summer where it is dry and all that sort of stuff.
I'd like to play it at its best.
Yeah, and get down the middle of the fairway sort of thing and appreciate it.
In the cart,
it's two thumbs up. Like, it's a great course.
Yeah.
Great establishment. And for this, like I said, for this time of the year, we can't really complain too much.
Yeah. Well, and what about after? Are we going into what we did after the golf and go up to Mooloolaba?
Yes.
Right, so as I said, we're lucky enough to be up here, but Caloundra is the deadest town on. And I didn't realise that. I thought it was like Maroochydore, Mooloolaba, Noosa, all that sort of stuff. But it's dead. So we went up to Maroochydore and we had a great burger and all that sort of stuff.
We can't tell you what the place is called.
No, it's no name.
No name.
No. But then we have a look at Facebook because we put that we're playing golf on Facebook like we normally do. And my brother says, I'm just up the road from you. So I live in New Zealand. My brother lives in Wangaratta. and we're 20 kilometres apart on the Sunshine Coast of the week. Neither of us had spoke to each other and knew.
No idea.
And we won't go see each other or anything. Well, that won't matter. But
shout out to you, Steve.
But that was nice of Steve to say he was within 20 kilometres of us, which is as close as I've been to him in years.
Yep. And look, the night didn't end that well. We had a bit of an incident.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We had a bit of an incident coming up.
I reckon this is you being a retard for once, which is good.
Yep. This, although I'm not taking the full blame.
Well, I asked for a breakdown. I'll take 10%.
So we're trying to find the car. We're parked in the car park. We come down a lift to get to the food place. Mm. We're coming back, but we took escalators.
I thought the escalators would be more fun.
Yeah, fair enough too. They were big, long escalators. And they stopped halfway and there was a door and they went up again.
Yeah.
And as we were coming up, we were saying, oh, is this the right escalators? And I remember when we were coming off the lift at the top floor, looking down some windows into there. So I'm looking up to try to find the windows I was looking out of to make sure we're on the right escalator.
Of course, as we got to the halfway mark there at the door, I've half thought the car is here and caught a glimpse of it. So I've stopped.
Dead in front of me. So rolls are stopped. I was still looking up at this stage. I've just walked into the back of him at walking speed.
Like, if not slower.
Slower. Hit him somehow, and somehow my left thumb, whether it was the fright from hitting you, not because I didn't see you.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
And I've raised my thumb, and my thumb smashed into your elbow or your hip or something.
Hip.
And I'm not going to say I heard a crack, but it was definitely a pretty big click.
You've been in all sorts.
Well, and I've had ice on him.
We've had to go
I'm out of action.
We've had to buy a bag of peas for him to put ice on his thumb. I barely felt it touch me hip.
Oh, God. I've broken my hand twice and it hasn't hurt this much before. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen from here
on
out.
So our six rounds of golf over the next week may be in grave danger.
Jeopardy. But anyway, look, we'll battle on. We'll finish.
How good was that burger we had?
Yeah.
It was a simple. Yeah. Well, I just had the cheeseburger.
Yep.
It was plain. It was a
$10
really
burger. No options. There's no double burger. There
was four or five burgers on the menu?
Yep.
It was one of the tastiest burgers I've ever had.
Yep, yeah, that was really good. That was in Ocean Street, for anyone that does get down
Ocean
this
Street,
way, in
Maroochydore. Yeah.
All right.
We could probably wrap up the golf and the first section there.
Yes. So what I want to do now, I want to move on to a couple. Last podcast, you asked a few rules questions that neither of us had any idea the answer to.
Well, I was asking the question. That's why I wouldn't know. I expect you to know, though. You're a golfer.
No, I don't know this. So I've done a little bit of research.
Okay.
And I want to clear a few things up. The first question you asked was about the ball hitting like someone's equipment, whether it be your own or your playing.
Which had happened today. I hit a 5-iron off the tee to a par 3 and it hit the people in front of us cart.
Oh, that's right, did on top of the cart.
And bounced out of bounds. They'll
let us play through. They caused through rolls and all these things at the top of their cart. Bounce off into the bushes.
So I just took a 4 and walked off. I bet that's what the rule says. Just take a 4 and walk off.
So Rolls asked me what the question was there. Who's penalty? So I'm going to clear a few things up. Okay. So if the ball hits your opponent's equipment.
Yep.
No penalty to nobody.
No penalty. All right. Yep. No penalty.
So if it's in match play, you get to decide whether you want to play the shot again or just play it from where it lies.
Okay. Yep.
If it hits your own equipment, if it hits your own equipment, it is a 1-stroke penalty, and you also
to me or to someone else.
No, to you.
can't just give penalties to other people. All right.
I think you asked too about what happens if it hits your cart, or if your golf clubs are on your cart, that is included as your equipment.
Same
if we're in a team. If you hit me and I'm on your team, that's also a penalty stroke.
So what if you took your shoes off because you played it right next to the water?
Yeah,
and you took your shoes off to play it out of there, and I played and hit your shoe.
Oh God!
You weren't expecting that. I reckon.
Of course I wasn't expecting that.
You were sitting there thinking, "I bet Dave asks it's a ridiculous shoe question."
All right.
So that's going to go under the. I reckon that goes under the same equipment rule.
I'd say it would.
All right.
Okay. So the ball hitting another ball on the green.
You asked about that one. Yep.
Okay. So from the green, if player A hits his putt.
Yep.
But the ball strikes the ball player B, who was also on the green. Yep. In match play, there's no penalty.
All right.
Yep.
But where do you play them from?
I'd say yours would go back. If I hit your ball, it would go back to where it was. Mine would. Same with when you.
Because if you're a really good putter, you could deliberately hit their ball away while hitting yours
that's
closer
why
to the hole.
Come back, Okay, so there's no penalty. In stroke play, it's a 2-shot penalty to whoever's ball was in motion.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm. So it's probably me. It's whoever's hit it predominantly.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yep. So, and then I think the other one you asked was two balls hitting each other in the air and colliding.
Yes.
That's never happened in this year.
So there's no rule for that?
No rule for that. I looked hard. Oh. I promise. Okay. Another one was about the dangerous animals.
Yes. Okay, yes.
So someone wrote in, there's a website called Ask Linda, and you write in the questions, which you can get on and ask.
Yeah, ask Luke.
Yeah, so someone's wrote in and asked about dangerous animals, and I'm not going to read the question, but I'll just quickly read the reply. It says, Dear Lulu, alligators and fire ants are considered dangerous animals under the rules of golf. Rattlesnakes and bees also fall under the same heading.
Bees?
If your ball lands near any of these creatures, you are entitled to a free drop to the nearest point no closer to the hole and out of danger.
All right, yep.
And keeps going.
That's fair enough.
Yep, and then, so you asked about sparrows. I'm assuming sparrows don't fall under the non-threat, life-threatening.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But see, someone may have a phobia of sparrows.
Oh, well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Just quickly, while I was looking this up,
yep.
HungJohn06 wrote it and said, is there a penalty for hitting your own golf bag with your own club when you're making a stroke? Come on, HungJohn. I'm not even going to bother with that one. All right, this is good. I read this one. This is a... I can't even pronounce
it. You had to stop looking for a ball today because you were scared of a kangaroo.
Yeah, it shaped up to me.
Yeah, kangaroo shaped up to you, and your ball could have been right near where it was.
I still reckon I could take the kangaroo. I didn't have a club in my hand.
Yeah,
I didn't. Oh,
yeah, so
right.
Kangaroos who were... didn't they look great on the course today? They're beautiful, cute, fantastic things, but you were scared of them and couldn't play your shot. So go on.
It was a monster. So this person, what do you reckon? Is August? I don't want to say Augusta, but it's not. It's Augusta?
Yeah, Augusta.
Augusta. So I'm going to read this out. This is a kind of a funny story I come across. Right. This is true. I read this online. This is someone.
Oh, so that's true.
Person called Augusta, yeah, has written in and says, hello. This goes, bear with me for a second. Yep. Hello, I've lobbied the USGA about this in advance, but I'd like some consensus here. This goes back to your sparrow question. What constitutes a dangerous animal situation? Yeah. The rule only mentions a few being alligators, bees, snakes, and fire ants. The USGA to add to their definition of dangerous animals. I ask because of this situation occurred last weekend.
Right.
On the 15th hole, I pulled my approach shot into the red lateral hazard. It had barely rolled in, so I figured I could just walk up, find it, and more than likely take a drop within two club lengths. As I approached the point last crossed, a red-winged blackbird started chirping at me.
There you go.
As I got closer to the hazard, it zoomed at me, squawking and batting its wings all around my head.
Yeah, yep. Well, good. Yep. Go on.
This is a common occurrence this time of the year. As you get close to one of their nests, these birds are willing to die to protect it, even if it means actually pecking humans on the head. I'd imagine it would really hurt. Now,
sounds courageous.
Now, a red-winged blackbird is never going to kill you, unlike a swarm of bees, poisonous snakes, or alligators. But if it feels it is in a dangerous situation and dangerous animal just because it is totally willing to attack humans if need be.
Yep.
So he's panicking.
Yeah, all right. Is there more? Because Go.
So I didn't get to look for my ball. I stood well away and slid my driver to the point last cross to mark the spot. The bird was watching and squawking the entire time from the tree in the hazard. I took my drop and addressed my ball. I heard a really loud squawk and the beating of wings right above my head. I quickly took a dive onto the ground to get away to avoid being pecked. My playing partners loved it, of course, and I was embarrassed. I didn't really want to kill the bird with my wedge and it's because it's probably just protecting its nest. But I'm trying to play a game here. Okay, questions. Since the blackbird is not mentioned as a dangerous animal, would I get dangerous animal relief in the situation above? I was going to just use rule 3-3 and play two balls and let the committee decide. I didn't know that. But after the awful approach and being attacked a few times, I wasn't thinking straight. Thanks. Now, you know, that's a pretty in-depth letter. Yeah, right? He's gone in a lot of trouble. You know what their reply was to this website? I really have no advice, but that story made my night. Thanks for sharing.
that's the official answer from the USGA.
He's wrote to the USGA, but he's wrote onto this website ask because he hasn't got a reply from the USGA.
Now, magpies used to be a tremendous hazard at Jubilee.
True.
Yeah, yep. And Bears, you get not a Jubilee, but you get Bears. Are they on the list for America and Canada?
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, Snake. What about the Goannas? The Goannas, you get a thing. They have a waist as big as mine and hands bigger than mine.
Yeah. So I went looking for the list of animals to sell. I couldn't actually find the list. I could only find people giving a few on there. Because
bees don't bother me.
Yeah, there are some killer.
If it's going to kill me, it would bother me.
They would kill her in it.
But again, that's very interesting. Yeah. The definition of dangerous animal needs to be explained and probably expanded.
Yep, and look, so I just wanted to clear a few rules up there. Later down the track, I want to introduce a new segment where it is a rules-based thing so we can actually learn some stuff and the people listening can actually learn some stuff.
It's bizarre how much we play this game and don't know. We'd never sit down and play Monopoly and not know the rules or whatever. Most games, but we play this game all the time and we just don't know the rules.
There's so many rules. And some is up to interpretation too. That's why it's so hard. Yeah. But look...
And they make it so hard to score well too, so that's why we ignore them.
Well, speaking of scores, we don't want to do the scores?
You had an 88. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, no, we played match play and you kicked me teeth in. I'm happy. We played match play and you smashed me to bits early. I got a few late when it was already dead though, but you just got me to bits. But that was my warm-up round, but that's why I'm not worried about the scores. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so we'll go close into this pod here, so because we got to get up early. We got to...
Now, we've got a big day tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. Yes. So this will be next week's pod.
Yeah.
Now, one quick thing, though. On last week... So no one's listening, as you know.
Yeah.
Because on last week's pod, I mentioned I had the biggest news of all time. I had world-changing...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Exactly. And no one said it. No, I've told everyone I've got a world-changing, make-your-life-something-bizarre thing happening. No one asked. Couldn't care less.
I forgot all about it.
There you go.
When do we get to know?
No, well,
you cracked
when
it.
When someone is interested, okay, they'll get to know.
All right, I'll make a note of that. So tomorrow we're going down to Pacific Harbour. We've got an hour-long drive.
Bribie Island,
playing the Pacific Harbour. We're playing with a couple.
You should have seen the game of footy I played against Bribie Island back in '98. I was rucking against probably a 45-year-old guy who was 5'10" and couldn't jump. And I smashed him to bits. I would have had 70 hit-outs that day. I was hitting him to wingman and half-forward flankers. I was doing whatever I wanted. I think they had 14 men. We beat him by about 80 goals. And I stood on this guy's throat and rubbed his...
How many fantasy points would you add?
I would have had 180 fantasy points that day. Gee, I smashed him to bits. I don't think he'd ever played footy before.
So look, the guys we're playing golf with tomorrow are probably going to be a bit better than this. They're actually professionals on the senior tour. We've, like I said in the previous podcast, we've hit these guys up. He's John Barrett's been good enough to organise a round for us down at Pacific Harbour.
This will be great.
Yeah, so we'll get to fucking swing a golf club.
I hope I don't have any Aries. I hope every swing hits a ball. that's all I'm after.
You should have broke your thumb tonight.
I'm leaving that wedge in the hotel room.
You need to hit your ball on the green from it. Don't leave it.
Sure. Yep. I'm going to be putting from a long way off the green, aren't I?
As soon as we're off this microphone, I'm grabbing the club out of my bag and having a swing in the hotel room. You see how I'm going. So I'm going to get off this, get some ice back on my thumb, and we're going to get to Pacific Harbour tomorrow.
Beautiful.
So we'll wrap this up here. Any last final words, Rolls?
No, mate, I'm going to lace into that half pack of chicken twisties I got left.
All right, no worries. Well, we'll leave it here. So
Jump on our social media platforms and check out the great photographs we'll be putting up of the golf we've been playing.
All right, we'll leave it there. Over to you, Hornsby. Chili Dippers, out.
In the back where the grass don't grow, gonna take a few hacks. That's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chad Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I'm no pressure, day. We're working on the swing and talking trash, taking another good hit, trying to make it.